All right. Yeah, welcome. I'm here to talk about Rash, which is a programming language that I made a couple of years ago. And I'm just going to show you an example to start off with. So here's an example program in Rash. This program reads two numbers and adds them together. And there's a twist to this language, which I will just demonstrate straight away. So now let's go to my examples directory. Then I'm going to run this. And then, as you saw in, as you saw on this code, it asks for a number, then it reads a number, then it asks for a second number, and then it reads a second number, and then it prints them. But this read command is a special command. So let's try to run it. So it asks for the first number, but then it immediately terminates. So let me try to then actually enter a number, 4. Then it asks for the second number and immediately terminates again. So let's enter a new number. And then finally it prints the final line of the program, which has the two numbers. So this programming language on a very simple level is like shell scripting, but whenever you have this read command, which also exists in, for example, Bash, it will terminate the program, save the entire program state, and then when you start the program again, it will continue from exactly the read instruction, taking the arguments as the value of that statement. That is really the basics of this programming language. So now I have talked to you about Rash. So one important part about this is actually the background of this. So I have to talk about the motivation for even creating this language. That's extremely important. So I took this picture approximately 10 years ago using my Sony Ericsson phone. That's why the quality is not so great. This is from the university where I was studying in computer science. And we had a lunch club. So this is like a club where every day at 12 or so we would meet and eat lunch. And how do you manage that? So let's try to write it out. So I'm using Prolog here. Rash doesn't use Prolog. Prolog is a different programming language, but I'm using it here, these slides, to kind of explain how the logic fits together, because there's a deep nesting of logic that is necessary to understand like the origins of Rash. So the way to read this is, this is a predicate. So the predicate is can manage a lunch club. And then this colon dash, that is kind of how. So this sentence says, you can manage a lunch club if you can use a chatbot. So sometimes when you enter a project, some architectural decisions have already been made for you. And once I joined this lunch club, they had already decided up front several years before that the way to manage this club was through a chatbot. So that was something someone else had decided. I had to live with it. And then there's some other things like, how do you use a chatbot? You can use a chatbot if you have IRC. So you don't need to know what IRC is. I'll just explain it. It's an old chat protocol, internet relay chat. So it is similar to some of the newer things like Matrix, just older and a bit simpler. So you could also, in theory, use a chatbot in newer protocols, but in practice, this IRC decision had also been made for me. So that's how it is. I'll get back to that later. So let's just clarify. So we see that we can use a chatbot for lunch bookkeeping if we use the chatbot at lunchtime. That is kind of the basic idea. But then we have to think about, that kind of leaves us, what about all the other times of the day where it's not lunchtime? I mean, the chatbot just runs 24 hours a day. What are you going to do with it when it's not lunchtime? So I think we tried a couple of things. I can just, for some additional context, I'll just show you, we made this visualization. You don't need to be able to read any of this. Again, this has nothing to do with Rash. This is still the background. I'll get back to Rash in a bit. So for example, this visualization just shows the scope of the lunch club. I mean, the arrows here they describe, I think, kind of which items were bought in together with other items. So you could see something like hot wings were bought often together with bread, but bread was not bought often together with hot wings or something. It's like a very complicated data analysis. I actually got some ECTS points for this, so that's very nice. Again, this is just to show that the lunch club was a big deal. Let's get back to Rash. So the idea is we have this bookkeeping, but we're going to use the chatbot for something else as well. So the typical example is you want to use it for games. But I put this colon dash here, which means that's a condition. So the idea is you can use the chatbot for a game if this game is viable for the IRC medium. And IRC is text-based, so we have to say if a game has to be viable for IRC, it has to be the case that the genre of the game is text-based. That is really a core requisite. So we can think of some few examples, like what is a good game for the text-based genre. I wrote here an example called Funny Remarks. So this is like kind of a one-shot thing where you send a command to the chatbot and then it prints something funny. I can just show you an extremely bad example. So usually I run IRC in my Emacs editor, but I have had some issues today. Oh, yeah, my Wi-Fi isn't great. So I will not show you an example right now. But I just imagine you're right, you asked the bot for a joke, and then it replies with a bad joke. That is kind of one example of, let's say, an easy to implement command. But it's also, it gets boring in the end. So what is more fun? State-based games. So an example could be Jeopardy. So in Jeopardy, the state is that the bot asks you an answer and then you provide a question. So that's the state that has to be kept track of. Another example is this Connect Four game where the state is how many tokens you have in this grid. Another example is Wheel of Fortune where the state is how much of the word has been revealed. So there are so many examples and many of these examples actually work well in a text-based setting. So that's a new requirement. So we say that we can play a game if it is a state-based game, but then we also have this additional requirement that we actually need to be able to keep the state somehow. So there are some obvious candidates for being able to keep state. One is to just run a background process. So we have some kind of daemon that just never exits, so it just keeps the state in memory. And another obvious candidate is to do some manual state file handling. So in your program, you just keep writing to a file whenever something happens, and then exit, and then you read from that file when you reopen, and you do that manually. You keep track of the state that way. Both of these approaches work. They don't exactly fit our model. The manual state file handling works, but you have to keep track of that manually yourself. You have to remember, oh, right, I wrote this file, now I have to read this. There's some extra manual bookkeeping around. You can still do it, but it's a bit annoying. For background processes, that is also something you can do. But it is a bit brittle, right? Because if you have this long-running bot and you start a background process, what happens if something goes wrong and you forget about it? Then and you never clean up, then you just end up with hundreds of background processes that somehow are still running in some kind of zombie mode. So it's something that you have to be very careful about, and we are extremely uncareful in all of our programming in this chatbot. So you have to, it doesn't really fit with a very defensive coding style, because you have to think about what you're doing, and that adds another layer of having to really be careful. So that's why the idea was to instead use Rash. So let's try to focus on this. I will go into Rash more now. So this is just moving it on the head. So let's, if we try to put it like the other direction and start with the premise and end with the conclusion, we can say that the premise is that if we have rash, then we can keep state, which means that we can play a game if that game is state-based, which means that if the game is then a text-based game, then it is viable for IRC, which means we can use a chatbot for this game. So now I will go back to RASH. I've given you the motivation. So as I said, no background process, automatic state management through files, but you don't manually specify the files. RASH handles that for you. The only place where that happens is on read instructions. If you have a read instruction, the program will terminate, save the entire program state, and then when you rerun it, it will go back and read that state. So let's talk about language design. You may have heard of this article, Go-To Statement Considered Harmful. It's a very famous article, but I did not read it. This is the collection of languages in our chatbot repo. And as you can see, the biggest one is shell script. So the obvious candidate is to combine assembly and shell script. And it actually composes really nicely. So let me show a bigger example. So this is a guess the number game. I can just show you. Let me show it in Emacs. That's better. Yes. So now I also introduce labels. So this is like an assembly. We have a guess label. And then we have this JC jump zero. So it jumps if the exit code of the previous command is zero. And then we have some more labels, like if the guess is too low, or if the guess is too high, or if it's correct. So we can just try to run this, right? Guess the number. What's a good number?
42.
42. No, that's too high. Then we can do some kind of binary searching or something. 20? No, that's even. Okay, 10? What? 5? Oh, no.
Zero.
Whoa! Thank you. So let's just talk about future work. So this just showed that you can also do looping, and looping is just like an assembly that works. So I come to FOSDEM as a hacker. But I also work in industry, like just like a normal programmer, so I know how industry does it, and I just found these examples of all these turbo prefixed languages. So I thought, actually, a friend of mine suggested it because he used to work with Delphi. He suggested Turbo Rash, so that is going to be the next name, I think. Also, I admit that I like this assembly shell, but it is also slightly problematic if you want to do bigger programs. So I also think it could be nice to improve the syntax, have some kind of more structured programming. Also right now, REST cannot read environment variables, so you have to start like a shell, like a bash shell or something, and then read from that. It's a bit inefficient. We still have to ensure backwards compatibility because we have at least 10 programs that use RASH out in the wild, so those have to keep working. I have some ideas for how to do this. RASH, the interpreter, is written in Haskell, so it's easy to add some new abstractions. I think that can be done quite easily. Also better piping, so I showed you before, just let's go up here, so to actually find the initial random number, first it calls sec, then it sorts that, so it finds 100 numbers that sorts it, and then in the end calls head to find the first number. And that works, but it would be nicer if this was an actual piping, because right now every step saves the entire value. So there's no streaming right now, and I think it would be really nice to have some proper streaming. It also complicates matters a bit, because you cannot have like streaming in progress if you also want to save the state, but I think probably something can be done there as well. Yeah, it's a great language. It works. You can try it out. Here's a link. It works also outside of IRC, as I showed, but it also works inside of IRC if you choose to do so. Thank you.
A great course for minimalism. I think you make it too complicated already. Don't do streaming. So questions, and the next speaker can set up.
Hi, thank you for the talk. There is another rush. It's also something with shells. It's written in Racket. And it's unfortunately overshadowing your project. And it's also interesting, and it's also about composition of Lisp scheme and shell, well, bash. And I like the notion of composition because that's the essence of programming, in fact. In your case, it's a shell and assembly. And yeah, it's a pity that you are overshadowing. You know.
Yes, okay. But then I'll just rename it to Turbo Bash, or in short, trash.
I gave a talk on Rash 3 years ago.
In your defense, Rash is a perfectly good name because Rash is spread, so it's going to just end up across all the shelves.
Yeah,
yeah, Rash is trying to spread. Yeah.
Rash is spread it. Call it Geeks Rash.
Yeah, yeah.
any more questions? Yep, you can ask it.
No, because it will just pick whatever first person is doing that. I mean, it's just based on files, so as long as the file read is kind of doing some doing it in a proper locked version.
Yeah, behind that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so it's only an issue if your file system is weird, but yeah. Any more questions? If not,
where is the state actually kept?
Okay, so the question is where the state is kept. This follows the XDG standard, so it's kept in home/.local/state, I think. But you can also configure it to be somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of the same, just worse. So yeah, absolutely. No, but you're right. I mean, that's the similar idea, just more theoretically well-founded. Yeah. But yeah, you're welcome to join us on the DIKU channel on libero.chat if you want to play around with our chatbot. It has many of these stateful games. Unfortunately, they're all in Danish, but we can translate for you. Thank you.